This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
When soft-ish is not soft at all, how will the economy land once interest rates go higher still? I'm David Brancaccio. The number of people signing up for unemployment benefits in the past week fell to its lowest point in more than a half century. The 187,000 new filings reported today were lower than expected in this extraordinarily strong job market. Last time it was this low was the lunar landing year of 1969. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're hanging out with fancy people this week.
We saw Jay Powell, Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell, showed up at our meeting in Washington, D.C., and he was pretty pointed in his comments. You know, here he is in a room of people paid to interpret every word he says, and he said something that was very telling. He said that the Fed was working to, you know, engineer a soft, if not maybe softish, landing. The two are not the same. The first one is when growth slows enough so that, you know, we can ease up on things and inflation cools off nicely without any increase in the unemployment rate. Softish? Kind of like a semi-hard landing or a growth recession. That's when growth slows so much that unemployment actually has to rise.
Yeah, I mean, which is worth reflecting on for some employers who I hear from, I think you do too, who are weirdly, perversely calling for maybe a little recession so they can find it easier to hire people.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I just need a good recession so that I can find enough people to hire. And I remind them there is no such thing as a good recession. Recessions are indiscriminate in their pain, and they may not need as many people to hire because it could challenge their need for hiring anyone.
Strange world, though, right, Diane, where this is the discussion. But we do have a lot of inflation out there. When you're there at this National Association of Business Economics meeting, you want to ask if you might go with a 0.5% rate hike in the coming months?
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, we asked him what would stop him from raising rates 0.5% in May. And he said, sort of deadpanned, nothing.
Okay, I get the point. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And in a letter to President Biden, airline executives are asking the administration to end some key pandemic travel policies, such as masks on airplanes. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
David, this letter is signed by the CEOs of 10 passenger and cargo carriers. Now, the Biden administration recently announced masks will be required on public transportation through April 18th. But the airlines point out the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has relaxed its guidance on masks, and they say it makes no sense to require masks on planes when people are congregating in crowded restaurants, schools, and sporting events without masks.
And there are those who just don't like wearing masks, as we know. But also, the airlines find it tough to enforce these rules.
Right. And the letter says airline employees are subject to daily challenges from frustrated customers. The FAA says there have been more than 900 reports of unruly passengers just so far this year, and more than 600 of them involve face masks. Now, the White House points out that while the Transportation Security Administration did extend the masking mandate for public transportation, in the meantime, it's working on a revised framework for masks based on the CDC guidelines.
And the letter also mentions COVID testing requirements. The airlines want those lifted too?
The airlines say these requirements leave U.S. airlines at a competitive disadvantage. Right now, the CDC requires people traveling to the U.S. from other countries to show a recent negative COVID test result or prove they've recovered from COVID. The airlines say Britain, the EU, and Canada have stopped doing that.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. The White House today said the U.S. and its allies are tightening sanctions on Russia, applying financial restrictions now on 400 Russian elites and elected officials in the Russian parliament, the Duma. The head of Russia's biggest financial firm, Sberbank, a close Putin advisor named Herman Greff, is also on the list now. The G7 and the EU are also setting up a new program to thwart efforts to evade sanctions.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Biden administration has a new plan to combat racial inequity in home appraisals. Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
Home appraisers are bound by the 1968 Fair Housing Act not to discriminate based on race. And yet,
race is still playing an enormous role in how much houses are valued.
Junia Howell is a sociologist at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Her research finds that homes in mostly white neighborhoods appraise at three times the value of similar homes in Black and Latinx neighborhoods. Michael Neal with the Urban Institute says that doesn't just prevent individuals from building wealth.
It also has implications for the community more generally, limiting the degree of economic vitality and mobility.
The Biden administration plan aims to improve oversight and require anti-bias training for appraisers who work with federal programs, among other things. Andre Perry with the Brookings Institution says,
there also should be a plan to, like, restore the value that's been extracted by racism.
Without one, he says inequality will persist. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Now to the effects of one part of federal COVID relief, the nearly $2 trillion package put into law last year, providing a temporary boost in the child tax credit. Some critics worried the money would discourage parents from looking for work. A group of economists has been studying this. Here to tell us what they're finding is Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
All sorts of help from the government for people during pandemic. The child tax credit, again, how did that work?
So from July through December of last year, families of more than 61 million children received monthly payments of $300 per child under the age of 6 and $250 between the ages of 6 and 17. Now, the money was paid out monthly instead of waiting to be claimed on this year's tax return. And by the way, the enhanced tax credit, it has expired.
And you're seeing preliminary evidence that the credit did lower childhood poverty, which was the idea?
Yes, there are some very early studies. It reduced childhood poverty. It increased spending on food, and it reduced food insufficiency. And however, there are economists who worry that the program wouldn't be as effective as these initial reports suggest when it comes to reducing poverty. And the reason is there are economic models that suggest the extra payments would reduce the incentive to work.
So some simulations predicted maybe a drop in employment among families, especially those living on lower incomes. A recent study by four economists used real-world employment data from before and after this special program. What'd they find?
The bottom line by these four economists is they found only small and insignificant effects from the credit on both employment and labor force participation rates. And here's the really important point. is that the results held for families living on lower incomes. So the bottom line, they say, is that the expanded child tax credit did not have a negative short-term employment effect that offset its documented reductions in poverty and hardship.
Concern about the employment impact of various social support programs often erupt when the programs are increased. Opponents to hiking the benefits say, hey, it's going to keep people from wanting to work.
Yes, there's a wonderful set of studies by economist Gareth Olds, and he looked at the expansion of the food stamp program in the early 2000s, and his research showed that food stamps reduced one kind of risk, lack of food for the family, but the result was to encourage another form of risk-taking, entrepreneurship. So what often happens, David, is that the additional money can also help pay for childcare, auto repairs, and reduce other barriers to employment among families who are living on low incomes.
He reads the economic studies, so I guess we don't have to. Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor. It's important stuff. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
I'm David Brancaccio. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.